Tonight, our learning is sponsored by Ed and Ruth Goldberg in memory of Ed's mother, Hudel Basi Cheskel Zichrona Levracha, and by Tammy and Benji Silverberg in memory of Benji's sister-in-law, Esther Rachel Bashmo Leib Zichrona Levracha. Shem Hashem and Aliyah. We start a new Shiloh of the Week this week, and this week's Shiloh of the Week is as follows. Somebody came to me and said that they have a relative who elected to undergo cremation rather than burial, Rachmana Litzlan. That was not a decision that they should have made, but that was the decision that they made. The question was, now, should we take the ashes and should we bury them in a Jewish cemetery? The actual question that I received was, is it okay for us to steal the ashes, fill up the urn with just dust, and then bury the ashes in a Jewish cemetery? The psak was, usser, you should not do that. But it did raise an interesting question as to whether or not one should or should not, can or cannot, bury the ashes of, again, the deceased of a relative, of a Jewish relative who underwent cremation in a Jewish cemetery, and that is the Shiloh that I want to discuss this week. We will begin with just the discussion tonight of why it is inappropriate to undergo cremation. Why, from a halachic standpoint, one needs to be buried after passing. There's a mitzvah of burial. So the truth is, there's already a hint to burial at the very beginning of Sefer Bereishis. In Bereishis Perakimel Pasuk Yutas, in the aftermath of Adam Arishon's Chet, in which Adam and Chava eat from the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra, they're punished. And in the context of the punishment, Hashem tells Adam Arishon, Min Afar Ata, you are from the earth, and the El Afar Tashuv, and you will return to the dust of the earth. So you already have a hint to the notion of burial after death. Once death was introduced to the world, Hashem already tells Adam Arishon that his destiny is to return to the dust of the earth. But of course, that doesn't contain any halachic imperative. You might say that it's a sniff, it's a remez, it's a hint, but it doesn't entail any mitzvah. The mitzvah comes from a pasuk much later in the Torah, in Parshas Ki Tseitzei, Dvarim Parachafala, Pasuk of Gimel. In the context, it's an interesting context, in the context of Haruge Beis Din. The Torah says there are certain instances in which somebody commits a crime so grave and avera so heinous that you need to put them to death. There's capital punishment. And in the aftermath of discussion of the capital punishment, the Torah says you hang up their body for all to see, but lo talinev laso ala eitz, you don't leave it up there for long. The Gemara Sanhedrin says you really just leave it up there for a moment. Ki kavor sekberenu bayomahu, you shall surely bury them on that very day. And those psukim, those words in the puzzle, kavor tikberenu, serve as a source for the mitzvah of burial. The Rambam in Mitzvah Saseh Reish Lamed Aleph records a mitzvah to bury. Interestingly, the way the Rambam describes the mitzvah, he says the mitzvah is really likbor haruge Beis Din. The mitzvah is really to bury those who have been put to death by Beis Din, those who have received capital punishment for Beis Din. The mitzvah is to bury them. Then at the very end of the mitzvah, the Rambam says, v'hu adin sha'ar mason. And similarly, everybody else who hasn't committed a grave crime, who hasn't been punished with death by the Beis Din, you should bury them as well. Of course, that highlights the fact that it's quite interesting that the source for this mitzvah is haruge Beis Din. Of all contexts, the Torah doesn't tell us to bury the great tzaddikim and the leaders and your parents and things like that. It says that you should bury even those who received capital punishment. And that's surely significant and worthy of further conversation. But that is the mitzvah. And similarly, in Mitzvah Losa Asei Samach Vav, the Rambam says there's a Mitzvah Losa Asei to leave somebody unburied. So you have these mitzvos that entail burial. And as a result, the psak is certainly in a standard case. One should bury rather than do anything else with a deceased, with somebody who is deceased, with a human corpse. Now, what if somebody elects to not be buried? What if someone says, I don't want to be buried. I want something else to be done with my remains. I don't want to undergo burial. So interestingly, the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Mem Vav actually has a discussion of this very topic. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Mem Vav goes through various components of the whole mourning process. What if somebody says, don't bury me? What if somebody says, don't eulogize me at my funeral? I don't want any hespedim at the funeral. What if somebody says, don't do avelos? Don't mourn for me? So the Gemara goes through all these cases and discusses the halachic nature of each one and determines whether or not one has the right to forego any of these components of the burial, eulogizing, mourning process. In the context of burial, the Gemara presents a chakira. The Gemara presents two conceptual possibilities regarding why we bury. The Gemara says one option is that we bury because of kapara. Rashi says that by placing somebody in the ground, that's you're placing them in a makam afar, where they came from, as we said in the Pesukim in Bereishis, makam rima v'soleya. The body's going to deteriorate and decompose. That is a form of kapara, Rashi says. The alternative is because of bizayon, that it's an embarrassment. Now, the term bizayon itself in the Gemara is debated by the Rishonim as to what exactly it means. Rashi says it's going to be a bizayon to the family. If the person's not going to be buried, their remains are just going to be lying around, that's going to be a bizayon to the family. And the Gemara says, which approach you take will determine whether or not a person has the right to forego burial. If it's a matter of kapara, it's personal kapara for them, then they have the right to say, don't bury me. Rashi says, either because they have the right to determine that they don't want kapara, Or Rashi alternatively says the kapara is not going to work. In order for kapara to happen, you have to be buying into the process of kapara. You have to be ready to do tshuva. If you insist that you have no averos and you have nothing to do kapara for, you could put the body into the earth. That's not going to achieve any kapara. However, if it's because of bizayon for the family in particular, at least the way Rashi learns it, then you can't say don't bury me because it has ramifications for others. It's going to be a bizayon. It's going to be an insult to the rest of your family. You don't have the right to forego burial. How do we paskin on the issue? The Rambam in Avel Perek Yudbeis Halacha Aleph says that one does have the right to forego hesped. One can say, don't eulogize me at my funeral, and then we listen to a person's request, if they make that request. However, one does not have the right to say, don't bury me. Even if they say, don't bury me, we are obligated to bury them, and that is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, Shin Mem Ches Se'if Beis as well. So we emerge with a basic halacha that burial is required from a halachic standpoint. Now, we are placed in the scenario where somebody didn't do that. Somebody didn't do what they should have. They underwent cremation instead. And now you are placed in a circumstance where you have the ability to potentially bury them. Not because you're stealing the ashes, but let's say someone said, oh, you know what? You are now the safe. You are now the guardian of these ashes, and you have potentially, you're given the option of burying them in a Jewish cemetery. Are you obligated to do so? Are you allowed to do so? Be'ezras Hashem, we will explore those questions over the course of the remainder of this week.